Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And I wanted to let you know before I even started reading, I wasn't real sure about how to pronounce this, so I checked out several websites and heard several preachers who I think have it more together than I do, and they pronounce this Babel. Babel. Let us read God's word. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in which in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's word. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we look into your word, that you'll help what we have before us, especially as we seek to define who we are and the kind of life that we live. And then, Lord, may we come to the table with a renewed appreciation of what you have done for us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a scene in a movie released in 1994 where this young lady is considering going out to dinner with a guy who really wants to go out with this young lady. The problem is, before this lady will even consider going out with this young man, she tells him, says, "Look, I need to find out what kind of person you are." So here's what she says. It's a very strange monologue, but just listen in. Mentions him by name, and he says, "Listen, my theory is this. When it comes to important subjects, there's only two ways a person can answer. For instance, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's Elvis people and there's Beatles people. Now, the Beatles people can like Elvis and the Elvis people can like the Beatles, but nobody can like them equally. Somewhere you have to make a choice. And that choice tells me what kind of person you are. So before I'm going to go out with you, I have an important question. Are you an Elvis person or are you a Beatles person?" No pressure there. You know, everybody makes choices. Some choices are pretty much preference choices. Chunky peanut butter or smooth? White bread or wheat bread? Regular Coke, Diet Coke? You know, these choices reveal actually very little about your approach to life. And with all due respect to the girl in this movie, the choice between Elvis and the Beatles is, when all is said and done, a matter of preference. But there is a choice. There is a choice that you make this morning and today and for the rest of your life. A choice that goes a long way toward revealing what kind of person you desire to be. And the choice boils down to one very large question. And here's the question. Do I read the Bible as a manual to help me climb up toward being a better person, Or do I read the Bible as a story of God coming down to a broken, sinful people like me? Friends, your life is defined by how you answer that question. Is it a manual that basically tells you how to better yourself and to lift yourself up? Or is it an announcement of what God has done for you? You know, the latter symbolizes our ascension, our effort to go up to God. The cross symbolizes God's descension, that is, God's coming down for us. You know, in all the Bible, more than likely, there's no better story that sets up in bold contrast the difference between a ladder-defined life and a cross-defined life than the story of the Tower of Babel. So there's two decisions in this story, and you need to decide which side you're on today. The first decision is this. Let's consider the decision we make. Look at verse 4. Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower, and its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. That verse is humanity in a nutshell. We desperately want to be known, appreciated, praised, extolled. We want meaning and significance and worth through what we do. As someone once said, at the core of our identity, we are not human beings, we are human doings. And we give our very best efforts toward the objective of working our way up the ladder to the point where we will be known, appreciated, loved by everybody, and loved especially by God. Listen, we are natural-born tower builders. That is our default setting. We are addicted to a ladder-defined life. And as we progress up the ladder, we need to see from this story that we climb our ladders for the very same reasons as the people in Genesis 11 climbed their ladder. The key is this: to make a name for ourselves. Of course, we want to dwell on a higher rung of the ladder from other people, so we can kind of look down to where they are. You know, we're ladder measurers also. But here's the problem: when you start climbing the ladder becomes a hamster wheel. Here's a testimony from one writer who just saw the futility of a ladder-defined life. He said, quote, "If I do enough of the right things, I will have established my worth. My life becomes then the sum total of what I have accomplished. So if I can meet the needs of my spouse and my children, my significant others, if I can perform at the workplace, I'll prove my worth. But if I do not perform well, I'll be judged as unworthy by others. And I will judge myself as being unworthy." See, friends, when we transfer that kind of ladder climbing to our performance and our life before the Lord, when we engage in pride-driven, moralistic, ladder-climbing approach in our relationship with God, the Lord will judge us as unworthy. I say that, you can jot this down if you take notes. It's Galatians 3:10. It says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone," now hear this, "who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." That is 100%, 100% of the time, from the day you're born to the day you die. From a biblical point of view, if you feel unworthy, it is because you are unworthy if you're trying to build a ladder to God through what you do. So having considered the decision we all make, Let us consider in the second place, the second decision. We are ladder builders. We are ladder climbers. That's our default setting. But there's a second decision here. After looking at the decision we make, consider the decision God makes. Look at verse 5. And Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing they purpose will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language. It's interesting. This story, there's all this hard work in building a name, doing something, trying to work their way into the heavens. And there's a little bit of humor tucked away here also, because you see this momentous achievement. You can imagine this was the project that these builders, they're so proud of. This tower that's going to reach into the heavens is so small that Yahweh has to go down and come down from the heaven to even see what it is. See, all the efforts of these prideful people, all their hard work, the result of all this human effort to make a name for themselves with a tower, not only does this tower not reach the heavens, this tower of human achievement can't even be seen from the heavens. It's that tiny. The clear message is this, friends. None of our best attempts, none of our own self-righteous strivings can ever get us up to God. But oh, how we try to work ourselves up to God. Let me just modify one of the questions from Evangelism Explosion in this way. Someone says, when you appear before God, how do you know God will recognize you as one of His children? How do you know God will let you into heaven? Here comes the answer in one form or the other. Probably 95% of people answer this question, answer it this way. It's because I've done this. It's because I haven't done this. You know, by doing this and not doing this, I've made a name for myself. Surely God will reward my efforts. You notice what someone like that is saying? I've done this, I've done this, I haven't done this. Do you notice who the object of their trust is? They're trusting in themselves. It's faith in yourself. Friends, our personal towers of Babel remain standing to this day whenever we think somehow we can build a stairway to heaven with the bricks and mortar of who we are and what we do. So what does God do? You notice this, the triune God comes down, He judges these people. He comes down, He scatters these people. Literally, God disorganizes these people. And what God is doing is this, hear this. God is taking away their faith in themselves because they are the object of their trust. God is showing them, you can't make a name for yourself. You can't work your way up into heaven. And as long as our lives are nothing more than pride-centered, self-salvation projects, all we're going to get from God is judgment. Conflicted life, confused life, confounded life. Friends, make no mistake about it. Yahweh broke Babel apart. And the Lord will break our world apart whenever we try to be our own saviors. You realize that every problem, you know, we're going to hear a lot about what the problems are in our country and in this world. But let me just go ahead and tell you from a biblical point of view, every problem in this world boils down to prideful people thinking they can make a name for themselves, thinking they can save themselves through politics, through finding the right lover, through finding the right job, through finding the right formula for fame and success, finding some way to do enough to make ourselves loved by others and accepted by God. So when it comes to saving ourselves, working our way up to God, I want to ask you this morning, how's that going for you these days? Really? How's that going? How's that self-salvation project working out? You see, the good news we celebrate this morning, right before us in the Sacrament of the Lord's Supper, is this. At just the right time, that comes from Galatians. Yes, God did come down again. But this time, instead of judgment, God came down to rescue a sinful world, to reconcile a sinful people to himself. And how does God rescue us? Listen, he doesn't do it by giving us a tower to climb up to get to him. No, here's how God reconciles us. This is what we celebrate this morning. God replaces our ladder with his cross. As we read this morning in Philippians 2, in real time and space and history, the God-man came down to earth to save us, to rescue us by living and dying for us. You may say, to rescue us from what? See, friends, Jesus lived, Jesus died to rescue us from our own pride-driven efforts to try to earn our way up to God. Listen, you can never do enough for God. Never. You can't do it. But you see, Jesus did it for us. And on the cross, Jesus paid it all. The message is quite clear in the Bible. Our faith, our trust, our hope is in Jesus. It is never in ourselves. It is never in what we do. So I ask you this morning, as we approach the table, how do you read the Bible? Do you think it's just a manual for living a life, you know, to help you better yourself and somehow get to God through your good moral efforts? Or do you read the Bible rightly as an announcement of the God-man Jesus coming down to this earth for us, living for us, hanging on a cross to rescue us from our sin, from our self-centered efforts of trying to climb a ladder to God? Ask you this morning, as you pick up your Bible today and tomorrow and in the days to come, which way of reading the Bible will you choose? Manual or announcement? See, like the girl said in the movie, this choice reveals what kind of person you are. And as we take communion this morning, please remember this. Our Lord is not at the top of a ladder shouting, "Climb! Bring yourself up here." No, our Lord Jesus Christ is at the bottom. He's hanging on a cross. And he's saying, "It is finished." Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we see here there's two decisions with two destinies. We can decide to climb our way up some ladder of moralism and religion and by our own efforts somehow get to you to be our own saviors. And Lord, help us to see that the only destiny we share when we do that is a destiny of judgment. Or we can decide to trust in Jesus, who came down to live and to die for us. Lord, and when we trust in Christ alone and not in our own efforts, our destiny is in that place of no condemnation. And ultimately, our destiny is in heaven itself. Lord, help us as a result of being here this morning to live a life defined not by a ladder, but by a cross. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.